All right, guys. Hey, welcome back to the Media Fix Podcast, brought to you by addictedtomedia.blogspot.com. Tonight, your hosts are Stuart Snoddy and Shane. Go ahead.
Shane Johnson.
And?
This is Adam Johnson.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to our really unofficial, uncoordinated podcast. But hey, it's late, and we just got done playing a bunch of video games, but we're going to talk about movies and... Yeah, basically just movies. So let's just go ahead and get right into it. We have kind of like an unofficial itinerary tonight, so we might just jump all over the place. Starting off, have you guys seen the Tron Legacy trailer? What did you guys think?
I have not seen it yet, but I think Adam has. Wait, Adam?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that if you even want to call it a trailer, I guess technically it's a trailer.
It's a teaser. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the exact same footage that was actually shown at Comic-Con last year, which was bootlegged and put on YouTube. See, I'm pretty sure it's the exact same footage.
Yeah, but now it's clear now. We can actually see it in HD.
Really
Shane, well, I guess since you haven't seen it, we'll describe it to you. You know, it's basically just good old-fashioned, like, what are they called? Light bikes or whatever. They're bikes... good old-fashioned race, and at the end, Jeff Bridges' character kills the guy that he beats. Like, and I haven't seen it in a long time. I haven't seen Tron in such a long time. Remind me what actually happened in that movie, Adam. Were they actually...
I couldn't tell you, I'm sorry. I watched it probably about a year ago, and it's like...
Yeah, I own it, but I don't...
Was that actually them inside the computer world, or did they have, like, an avatar that was inside the computer world, or what?
I think wasn't Jeff Bridges was real, but then, like, the character within the game was the other character,
like,
I think.
The computer.
I don't remember either. I think Jeff Bridges was actually somehow possibly wired into it.
Really? Huh. So, like, his brain is actually in...
I'm not even, like, totally 100% sure. It's kind of a complicated movie.
Yeah, it sounds like it, man. I can't remember.
It's not
like
that great of a movie.
I mean, so if your character dies, you die, right? It's kind of like The Matrix. Right? Is that right?
What?
If your character dies in that Tron world, then you die.
Like I said, I don't remember.
Sure. Is it that advanced of a sci-fi movie?
I don't remember. I think that you die if you die in there.
Huh. Weird.
In Tron. But,
I mean, I guess that would have to be the danger of it. So in the first one, Jeff Bridges was kind of like the hero, and in this one, apparently, he's the ruthless villain, right?
Right, but I also heard something that, like, his son is the main character.
Yeah, the story chronicles his son kind of fighting back against his dad.
And I think it's also, like, kind of a setup to where Jeff Bridges, I almost said Jeff Daniels, Bridges' character that, like, that's not the bad guy that they show. Like, maybe it's like the computer made a replica, like a kind of a doppelganger of him.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I didn't think it would be that clear, you know, that straightforward. So.
Yeah, but I think really all that's, for me, is story details and stuff is really besides the point. I think that just what makes it teaser so exciting is just the visuals are, they're kind of, I don't know how to explain this, but I kind of feel like they're fresh in a way that Tron was fresh. Like, I kind of felt like that's probably how you saw Tron, the original, when that first came out, if you would have been alive back then, and, you know, of the age to appreciate the significance of the technology that went behind it. I kind of feel like what they've shown here isn't, of course, as significant, like, as a big a leap as what they were doing in the original, but it has just a really bizarre futuristic look to it. Like, it almost looks like it's like, it doesn't have that kind of cheesy Dayglo 80s aesthetic anymore. It's very, very dark and it has almost like a Chris Cunningham feel to it, like almost like an Aphex Twin video. Like, it's actually really creepy looking, don't you think?
I mean, I thought it was kind of rubbery for the most part. I mean, a lot of it looks really good, and like the animation is just, it's so lush that it can kind of read as being bouncy or rubbery, you know.
Right.
But I for the most part, I thought it looked cool, and I guess I felt like the character. I mean, of course, you know, we're talking about like basically what's just kind of like a concept teaser, you know, just. It really is just test footage, but
see, I thought it was actually from the movie.
No. I read that it was actually just test footage. So this was like kind of like conceptual footage to prove that this movie could be pulled off or whatever, you know.
But is this coming out next summer?
Yeah.
So it has to be pretty far along.
Yeah. So this is probably, you know, a year old or so.
Yeah. I just remember in this teaser, like, the way the characters in the video game look, the game world, like, they looked intentionally video game-like and CG-like. Like, they were just the way they moved and stuff, but then their faces almost look like live action being projected onto a model, like, very bizarre looking.
Right, like, kind of like an avatar.
Yeah, and I thought it looked brilliant. Like, it looked really, you know, unique and different for that, you know.
Yeah, definitely. It looks awesome. But I, you know, I guess it just really makes me anxious to see what the actual footage for the movie looks. You know, I don't remember also, like, I don't remember if in the original Tron, did they actually kind of become a part of the bike when they jumped on it? Because they do in this movie.
I don't remember that, yeah. In this, they actually become the bike almost, and, they,
yeah.
And it's like their torso is kind of an extension of, it's just kind of jutting out of the rear, and it's really cool, but it's kind of creepy looking.
And I always thought, like, in the original one, and I definitely have to go back and watch this now. I always thought that they were kind of like, these avatars were kind of like, just kind of analogies or like kind of symbolic of computer programs that were running or something like that, and like the big boss guy was maybe like a virus or some sort of security protocol or something like that. But they were kind of you know, like in the Matrix, they were kind of like humanoid stand-ins for computer programs. And I always thought that they were just kind of like symbolic of hacking and whatnot. But I'll have to go back and watch that, because it's amazing how baffling that is to me. But
do you guys know if this teaser trailer is being shown in front of anything in 3D? Because I know they really it's cut like a, you know, they're really pushing the 3D because it's going to be shown, I think, exclusively 3D, right?
Yeah, I don't.
That's at least what they're really pushing it as.
The movie is, but not the trailer. I don't think the trailer, like the test footage, is in 3D, is it?
Really?
I don't think so.
When I saw that that they were making that like an official teaser kind of trailer, I assumed they were going to show that in 3D in front of another Disney picture, because they've been doing that recently.
They might do it with the Christmas Carol this winter when it comes out.
Yeah, they probably will.
Okay, well, moving on. Next up, a lot of trailers that have come out in the last couple of weeks. Do you guys want to chime in on Alice in Wonderland? I know you both have seen that. That was a pretty cool trailer. The new Tim Burton Alice in Wonderland.
Mm-hmm. Hey, this is another Disney 3D movie that, well, when I say 3D, they're really pushing it as you know, a 3D movie experience. And I thought it looked really, really neat. I kind of feel like, I don't know, it kind of has like a predictable kind of Tim Burton feel to it, but not, maybe not necessarily. I think that the inclusion of these CG-enhanced performances with, like, for instance, Helena Bonham Carter's is
Giant
the... what's the queen? The Queen of Hearts?
Yeah.
The Queen of Hearts, it's like, it's pretty much just like her head on a CG body, so she has almost like Betty Boop proportions.
So it'll kind of pick up where Pirates left off, you think?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, It just looks so strange. It looks really neat, but I don't know. It just it looks. It has a weird, like, made for television feel to it.
Kind of like that Ted Danson Gulliver Travels.
Yeah, like it just from what they've shown, it just kind of feels like they're just kind of like. It's just more of a novelty picture towards just 3D, you know?
Right.
But
I don't know.
But
so
I mean, I'm sure it's legit. I mean,
yeah. Well, Shane, what did
story?
What did you think, Shane?
Right.
I really can't tell. It's just a trailer, but I'm interested.
Well, what did you think about the trailer? I'm saying, no, I'm not asking you to write your review of the movie now.
I don't really like how Johnny Depp's doing this Mad Hatter. It's not how I, envisioned it, but whatever. He's too contained. He's not, you know.
I mean, is anybody else kind of burned out on Johnny Depp's kind of like crazy eccentric characters?
I could see why some would be, but I enjoy his work. I think it's neat that he's just kind of the. This wacky actor that just does these goofy ass roles, you know.
I mean, this really does feel like a mixture. He feels like a mixture of I guess from what we've seen of him, of Charlie and you know, his pirate
Sparrow.
Yeah,
Jack Sparrow.
Yeah,
he looks terrifying in it. He looks like Marilyn Manson, like meets
Madonna,
Larry from Three Stooges.
Yeah,
he also looks like Elijah Wood with that gap.
But I can't remember what he's doing with his voice on this one. In the trailer, I think.
Because he's kind of sounding like Willy Wonka.
He's
again.
Really contained.
Yeah, he sounds like.
I think that he'll definitely freak out because that's what the character does. And I wouldn't be surprised if they do some CG stuff on him too when he kind of really, you know, mads out. Which I think could be really fun if they do neat stuff like that. Yeah, the Cheshire Cat looks great
this
too.
Yeah, this is a sequel, right? It's not just a re.
That's what I heard. Yeah.
Original,
I
story.
Don't know if it pulls from some of the books because I think that there were multiple books, but I think my understanding is kind of like a fresh take on it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean that was pretty big. I knew that trailer actually kind of broke kind of early and was actually removed. So until it got like a proper release, and I can't remember exactly where it got the proper release, but. I guess we'll move on. Shane, do you want to talk a little bit about your experience with Coraline?
I think if you read the review, you'll know what my experience was like. Like I said,
this is a podcast. People don't like to read; they like to hear. So, what did you think? Okay, let's talk about it more specifically.
The movie itself, I like the movie, and the Blu-ray, you know, looks good, and the 3D's is so-so, but it was.
No, we talked about this movie once when we saw it in the theater, and Adam.
Yeah, it was our first show.
Yeah, and you were here, and you hadn't seen it yet. Now you've seen it, right? You've watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
Adam, have you?
Oh yeah, I've seen it. I saw it in theaters, and then I've watched.
Did you get to see it 3D?
No, I saw it just 35mm regular.
Man, this movie is awesome. Like, it grows on me every time I watch it. I just... Wybie is like, he's one of the most amazing characters I've seen in an animated movie in such a long time. I really like everything about him, down to the way he's animated, and all the way to just his kind of, like, character quirks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I like the kind of juxtaposition between the silent Wybie and the... you know, and the very the kind of talkative one who's just he's so nervous, but like he's just, you know, he's like curious and adventurous, you know, in a weird way. He always, like, when he has his mask on, like his weird eccentric mask, he can just kind of like take charge, but as soon as he takes it off, he kind of hunches over and it's almost like puts his fingers together like he's scared of Coraline.
Almost has a when I watched it again, like I feel like the way he's hunched over, he reminds me of like Quasimodo almost.
Yeah, I love him, man. He's awesome. I want like a little maquette of him. The Blu-ray.
I was just saying that we kind of missed a. We could have had like a clever little segue there because this movie is. Essentially just a modern take on Alice in Wonderland, right?
Yeah, it definitely is. And it's also, there's a number of ways I guess we could have segued into that. It's also a movie that showed how to do 3D pretty amazingly. I thought this is probably, in my opinion, and I haven't seen everything, but this is the best 3D movie I've seen in theaters.
So you did see it in theaters in 3D.
Yeah, and it was absolutely breathtaking. It worked flawlessly, and I can't remember really ever. Usually I kind of regret not seeing both, but I can't remember a time when I was like, oh man, I wish I would have seen the 2D version, because I felt like the 3D version added so much, and it was done so well, and it almost made the characters look like they were like little cardboard cutouts in the world, which really worked well. You know what I mean? It's almost like a pop-up book. But
I really kind of regret missing that on the big screen in 3D.
But Shane, I think you can attest to the 3D kind of being pretty crappy in the home version.
Only crappy in that, like I said, because the glasses themselves, it's like a transparent sheet of like red.
It's not even the same thing. Not even the same thing as a theater, though.
Yeah, here's the thing. This is the exact same 3D that, you know, when you were a kid, they'd show the John Wayne movies in 3D, and you'd have the blue and the red. It's the exact same thing. Sure, the 3D works, but you constantly have that seizure-inducing strobe effect. And I mean, it is what it is.
Psychedelic version of Coraline.
Yeah, but
But I didn't even expect it to be, you know, give the illusionary effect of, you know, three-dimensional.
Well, I mean, they've been doing that on TV forever, Shane.
I haven't watched it.
If you don't remember Foxoramas,
it wasn't extra. It just came with
Stuart, the movie, do you remember Married with Children in 3D?
Yeah, yeah. They also have... Didn't they have Married with Children Smell-O-Vision? I think
so. Yeah, I remember the Smell-O-Vision.
Idiot.
They also did, like, Martin in Smell-O-Vision.
But... Totally. I would like to add that I have been listening to the Coraline soundtrack over and over again. Really good stuff. They Might Be Giants actually does one track on there, but the rest is composed by Bruno Kulais and the Our Father song, which is pretty cool. They Might Be Giants one, and that's actually that. You guys remember that one where Coraline's other dad plays a piano or plays the piano and sings her a song, making up a song about Coraline.
So they Might Be Giants wrote that one.
Yeah, and performed it.
Okay, I figured that they did.
And it's
that song's so good.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good soundtrack. Pick it up off of iTunes or whatever if you get the chance. There's a lot of, like there's a Hungarian band or a Hungarian Hungarian choir who performs a song on it. It's really actually there's three or four songs they perform. They're just really majestic, really magical sounding songs.
Did they do the intro song?
If there's a choir, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, yeah.
Just the whole package, I think this movie is just a kind of a rare instance of a totally uncompromised family movie.
Right, and do you think...
I feel like, you know, there weren't any suits interfering with this. It was just totally, you know... Neil Gaiman's got this incredible world. Let's go into it and let's make it.
Right.
Make it how we want to make it.
Yep. And Shane, I did get the chance to watch the DVD, which was good. Good quality compared to the Blu-ray, which was awesome, which I did watch a little bit of at your house, which is absolutely amazing in 1080p. It looked great. but the DVD wasn't too shabby either. So, Shane, I guess final thoughts on Coraline. Would you recommend that this is a definite purchase or rent?
Oh, I'd purchase it if you're a, you know, cinephile or you're...
Like, family? A family person?
Television with Blu-rays, huh?
A family person, right? This is a good family movie.
I guess if you don't, you know, potentially if you don't mind your kids being a little scooped
if your
out,
kids aren't that, dummies that, you know, can watch something that's not, you know, a farting, fat DreamWorks CG character, then yeah, I would definitely recommend it.
Okay, I guess we'll go ahead and on that note... So I got a chance, and I'll just talk about this very briefly, to watch a little bit, actually the most of Cedar Sings the Blues. If you just Google Cedar Sings the Blues, like the first link will be a link to Nina Paley's site, and you can actually watch this. It was actually recently just a part of the Indianapolis Film Festival, too. So I was excited. She actually, she wrote and directed, she basically did everything on this, and... she doesn't really believe in copyrights. She got in quite a few legal battles about that because she uses copyrighted music of 1920s, like jazz vocalist Annette Hanshaw. And it's a really beautiful movie. And it's 2D But there are several different styles within the movie, and it tells the story of an ancient Hindu goddess. And
Is this flash animation?
I think so. I think for a lot of people, there are... Yeah, it has to be flash animation, but they're done with different elements, too. Like, there's some, obviously, like, painted parts. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely worth the watch. Watch it. And you, like I said, you can watch it online for free. But it will be on Amazon. I got a letter from... the people who are actually making this film, Film Caravan, and they informed me that it's actually going to be released on the 28th on Netflix and DVD. So this is pretty exciting. They are pretty excited to kind of bump that or promote that. And
is this feature length?
Yeah. No, actually, I'm sorry. It is a short. It is a short, but you know, you could totally just Netflix it, and hopefully it'll be like on a watch instantly thing. I don't understand why not, because it's like watch instantly on her website, so
you know. That's the sort of thing that they usually put up on the watch instantly, like.
So throw it up on your Xbox, you know.
Yeah, we'll see. Oh, speaking of which, Stuart, I'll have to look it up. Jeez, I really wish I would remember this, because it'd be really good to put out on the podcast. But there's a site. Maybe we can put it in the show notes. I think it may be streamingsoon.com. Don't quote me on it, but it's a site that I don't know where they get their information, but they get the upcoming release schedules of Netflix movies that are going to be streamed.
Oh, I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, it's
is that Streaming Soon?
Yeah, streamingsoon.com. Yeah, this is pretty good stuff. So hopefully, yeah, hopefully. Yeah, I'm not seeing it on here, but hopefully you'll. I don't know how good they are. Does Netflix often add like new releases as kind of like the watch now?
Every week, yeah, they add stuff every week.
So I think that, and I kind of like I said, we're kind of moving around on topics, but that is like if they could just get a consistent flow of the watch now movies. Coming through. I mean, Netflix would just kind of be like your one-stop media source. You really wouldn't even need to go to Blockbuster anymore.
All right.
I mean, for that part, watch TV. If you could get all the TV shows that you really wanted on there, and
right, there's already quite a bit. I mean, I've my queue is for the stream now is it's there's always more than enough for me to watch. And like I said, they add stuff every week. There's usually always something pretty interesting. And I think the selection is pretty damn good. I mean, they put a lot of more obscure things that, you know, I always would like to rent, but I never see the store to rent. So I don't know. I don't know how far they'll go with it, though, Stuart. I mean, before they really start cutting in on, you know, on-demand cable and things like that.
Well, I think that
might seem to go all the way with it.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, what Sony just released TV is with Netflix boxes basically in them. And somebody wrote like a really scathing article. And I think it was on Cinematical.com. I can't remember his name, but he wrote an article about somebody who was writing an article criticizing Netflix, talking about how it was less impulsive in a way than going to like Blockbuster. Actually going to the store is, because when you go to the store you can just kind of impulsively pick up a movie and you have it, whereas on Netflix you seemingly have to wait a couple of days before you get it. But you know, like most of his argument just centered around really bogus arguments, I guess, bogus defenses about why Netflix was pretty crappy. And it's like it's a few years ago it seemed more and more preposterous, but I remember Netflix when you used to see like the Netflix flyers and you're like, this has got to be some kind of scam. What, you can rent a movie and there's no late fees, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But Netflix has kind of really taken off, and more it's really becoming a reality, this thing called just like streaming movies. And I think it's the prevalence of set-top boxes and the inclusion of the set-top boxes in TVs is like, wow, this thing's really going to be taking off in a couple of years. So I can't imagine a future without streaming video, which is pretty awesome. I mean, I think that like, you know, if games were that way, if we could just stream games that way, then yeah, this, you know, the quality is only going to get better. And you know, what the goal, the future, the utopian future with the one device in the living room probably isn't that far away. But
now, will that be before or after I get my universal health care?
That'll be way before you get your universal health care.
Well, at least that'll tide me over, right?
Yeah. On a quick tangent. I did want to mention that I did get a chance to see, let me look it up real quick. The new king of the new self-proclaimed king of HDTVs is a Panasonic plasma, which is apparently good enough to rival the old Pioneers. Yeah, so the new, since Pioneer isn't making their TVs, this is the new one. They make it in a 50 and a 54 inch, and also they're going to be making it in a 58 and a 65 inch, which you can, God knows how much. I think like the 15 inch is 2500 or something, but yeah, if you actually get a chance to go to the AVS forum, avsforum.com, there's actually a link on the front page. But yeah, it looks pretty cool, and you know, you and I both have the Panasonic, the older versions of these TVs, and it's kind of crazy that what used to be like a third market, or you know, like it wasn't really like one of the best name brands, is really stepping its game up. So
right. You know, it's funny, I don't know if you listen to Friday's One Up podcast.
I haven't yet.
Did you? But I know Garnett Lee, the host of that. He kind of goes off on a tangent about his love of like plasma televisions, and I thought it was so funny. Like, it's just funny. I find it humorous just to hear guys talk about TVs like they're cars. It's just funny, you know.
Yeah. It's It definitely used to be an obsession for me. I have like 3 TVs in my house that are all mine. But we talked about quite a bit today. But I did want to talk about a couple other things. Did you guys get a chance to? You probably haven't. I put it up a couple days ago, but the chance to watch the 45365 trailer.
No, I haven't.
You haven't watched the trailer at all?
No,
that's the one that it's about the. Is it Ohio?
Yeah, it's a town. It's just neighboring Indiana. It's actually one of the best trailers I've ever seen, I think. It's just really a moving trailer. And the movie is really good. And you know, everybody should get a chance to watch it because it's on Hulu right now for free. And it's only up till the 6th. And if you have a TV hooked up to your... your computer hooked up to your TV, this is, you know... Hook up that... Hulu desktop, you know, watch that, because this is a movie that'll make you pretty happy. It's pretty cool to see these exclusive engagements on Hulu. This is a movie that I had wanted to see, and I didn't think I was going to get a chance to see it because
this is a documentary?
Yeah, and I didn't think I was going to get a chance to see it because it was just such a small movie. You know, I didn't think it was going to get a wide release. Mm-hmm. And I'm on Hulu one day, and it's there. So I queued it up and watched it on my TV, and it was really awesome.
So you kind of have like a Jetsons moment.
Yeah, it's like, oh,
I'm in the future.
It's like what I want. You know, it's like this is so.
What's it about?
it's like being a fly in the wall of this town and having multiple perspectives. It's really cool. Really. It's just like being a fly on the wall, because they're really, I know it's impossible not to have a perspective, but this movie does a really good job of not really having an apparent agenda. So it presents this town to us, and we kind of get to make our own judgments, which kind of feels weird, because you do become judgmental when you're in these people's lives, when you're able to observe. But the filmmakers are actually from this town, Sydney, Ohio. So I was watching it and I was wondering, how do these guys have so much access? How are they? Why are people just letting them film and almost acting like they're not even there? Apparently the two filmmakers,
they're just regular townies, right?
Yeah. So you know, this This is a pretty cool movie. If you get a chance, like I said, just queue it up, watch it on your computer. It's not that long. Yeah, it's definitely, you know, I think one of the better documentaries. Really good.
Speaking of documentaries, I saw a pretty good one, part of the Indianapolis Film Festival last week, which was the Rock of Fire
Explosion. Oh, yeah, I wanted to talk about that. Go ahead.
The Rock of Fire Explosion, it's a documentary about an animatronic rock and roll group that you may remember from Showbiz Pizza that later went on to become Chuck E. Cheese. And this movie just kind of chronicles the history of it. And it follows, it mostly centers on two men. One, the creator of the Rock of Fire Explosion, who is, I can't remember the names, I'm sorry, but we follow the guy that, you know, was responsible for the company that kind of created the robots and everything. And then it also branches off, and we go into the world of this guy who's in, I think Mississippi, maybe? Yeah, he's down south, and he's this really just kind of sweet-natured country boy who is obsessed with the, you know, Showbiz Pizza, his memories of Showbiz Pizza and the Rock of Fire Explosion, and he actually bought the set, which they affectionately refer to in this movie as the show. Like, everybody calls the set their show. So he buys the Rock of Fire show, and he recreates the Showbiz in his garage, and it just kind of bounces between the two, and it's really a very kind of somber, melancholy movie too, where just kind of about these two guys, you know, one the kind of almost a mad scientist, the creator of it, and the person who was obsessed with it, and it's just kind of about how they kind of yearn for you know, the good old days, and it's just kind of focuses on that and kind of how, you know, how much joy that it brought them and other people. It was really interesting.
Yeah, I'm sorry I missed that one. Definitely, I'm looking forward to that on DVD. Apparently, there's somebody in Indianapolis who actually has one of those set up.
Yeah, they actually had. It was a really fun screening. They had a lot of the people from the movie because there's a huge you know, fan base for the Showbiz Pizza animatronic acts. And there are actually people that, in Indiana that that have the show, and they brought the Billy Bob, who was the big bear and leader of the animatronic group. They brought the costume, and they, you know, that you could get your picture taken with them. And they also talk about the guys in Indiana were the they actually developed the software that people are using to have these shows to easily program their own version. That's why you see all these YouTube videos,
yeah,
where it's the Rock of Fire Explosion robot band doing modern songs, like, you know, Lil Wayne's Lollipop. I know that was a big one.
I've seen like a Coldplay one. It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
That's definitely
it's
something
really good, especially if you were a fan of Showbiz Pizza and that whole thing, which I think we all probably went and enjoyed that, didn't we?
Yeah. I actually have never, I don't think I've ever been to a Chuck E. Cheese, so I've only been to Showbiz.
Yeah, they're kind of, I think, they're kind of marketing this movie as this year's King of Kong.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I was like, this movie has like a King of Kong feeling to it.
But yeah, but it's a lot smaller in scope. Like, this isn't as snazzy as that. Like, this is definitely a bare bones, you know, independent documentary, you know. I don't even think it's shot in a theatrical aspect ratio or anything like that.
Right.
It's very well put together, and I'm sure that you'll be able to get that on DVD soon.
All right, well,
maybe they'll put that on Hulu, who knows?
Yeah, it seems like one of the things you might be able to watch on Netflix. I mean, King Kong was really big on Netflix. They actually had that exclusively to where you couldn't get it on iTunes or on Amazon. You can only get it on Netflix. So hopefully they'll scoop this one up, or somebody will scoop it up so we can watch it.
You could check out, I think it may just, I don't know if it's this rockoffireexplosion.com. Just Google Rock of Fire Explosion, you'll find the website for this movie. It's a really nice website. It has tons of footage from the movie on the site in the trailer. So.
Okay, well, I have a few things, just a couple things here. Actually, there's three things I want to kind of talk. Well, actually, I'll skip that one. I don't know if you guys actually got a chance to see the Where the Wild Things Are featurette with Maurice Sendak.
I saw that.
But there
I saw that post.
There was a bit of you got to see a little bit more of the CG and actually how much of it's not CG, because you see a lot of the production footage and there's a lot of. A lot less than I thought was CG, you know. So, is a lot. I guess what I'm saying is a lot more if it's practical than I thought. But there's some neat stuff in that. So, again, yeah, that's at the site, guys. Check it out if you haven't seen it yet. There's a post.
Wasn't that pulled or?
No, it wasn't pulled.
Wasn't there some kind of controversy around that footage for a while?
Not that I'm aware of. I've seen it on several sites, so maybe.
I thought I heard that was supposed to be for the DVD or something.
Maybe. I mean, it's basically just Maurice Sendak, you know, kind of giving his approval. The real meat is.
Yeah, I was also intrigued by kind of his prediction that this was going to be a controversial movie.
I don't know what that means. And like again, you know, we'd have no idea when he recorded this, so this might have been when the movie might have been a little darker. Maybe it's a little more tame now. I mean, it got a PG rating, right? Isn't that what it's rated, PG? I think.
Yeah, I have a feeling that he's kind of referring to just like...
how much it departs from the book?
Well, no, I think he was probably referring to, and this is just me kind of throwing, you know, taking a guess, is just like, very much like how people reacted to the book when it first came out. Just the overall tone of Where the Wild Things Are is very much kind of like a bad boy story of this kind of bad boy and these monsters just kind of ripping shit up and
I mean, but
which it looks like that's in the movie.
Yeah, but like in the movie also, it's kind of like everybody. I want to say that the big bad monsters have more of a plush feeling to them. They feel like more like teddy bears. A lot of the time, and they do. I mean, in the book, and I actually have the copy of the book. The characters never seem like something that you would want to, you know, kind of nestle up next to. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, but in the movie, they totally do. They seem like big teddy bears.
They look like the oversized State Fair prizes.
Yeah. I'm just kind of interested to see how that's going to play out. I mean, Spike Jonze was very explicit in saying that this was his story about how, you know, really his interpretation. Not. I don't want to say that. Not interpretation of the book, but how the book affected him, kind of. So. He was very clear to say that this was his thing based on Maurice Sendak and not just kind of a retelling of the book. I don't know how much... I don't know what that means, but...
I predict this is going to be a pretty big movie for the fall. Like, I think this is going to make a lot more money than people are kind of assuming it will make.
Yeah, and I think it's probably because it definitely feels like it's made for a wider audience. Like it
right.
Like it has the potential to just really warm people's hearts up. And I think that maybe if the monsters had been a little scarier, that wouldn't happen. But
they show that trailer so much. It seems like every time I go to the movie, they show that, and it seems to always get a really big reaction out of the audience. So
yeah.
I think this is one of those rare pieces of entertainment that just has that kind of that magic to it. Where you can't help but get wrapped up into it, so I have a feeling that it's going to do really well. I'm excited.
2 months.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, also another movie that's kind of exciting is The Fantastic Mr. Fox, and which a trailer was just released a couple days ago. This is a Wes Anderson movie, and I'm not afraid to say that I was not, from seeing stills and kind of reading a little bit about it, I was not excited about it. But after I saw the trailer, it totally won me over. And I, for the most part, it's for the reasons that people have listed why they don't like the trailer. And that is that the performances seem dialed in. Like, the characters basically just... the actors aren't really, doing much. They're just kind of, really...
It's like they recorded their lines at like a Wes Anderson like wine party, like they're just goofing around.
But I think that's what makes it funny to me. It's just like that with like these cute little cartoon characters. Like it's like, oh man, I it's you know what I guess is what I guess what I like about it is that it's not. You know, it's not like a Miyazaki movie where, you know, the American iteration gets, like, these fancy American actors, but you would never know it. You would never have any idea. They're all incognito as their character. But here, just like, oh, yeah, I know that's Jason Schwartzman, and I definitely know that's George Clooney. The character even kind of acts like him, has some of his mannerisms. What's that thing he does, James? He's like, yeah.
Finger and thumb.
Yeah.
This movie is...
What's the thing you do?
I still can't believe this movie's actually happening. Yeah, like, it's so...
It looks hilarious. Like, a trailer, I just, like... I've watched it over and over again after it came out, and it's like, this... I'm going to see this day one. And I haven't really been that impressed by his last couple movies, so...
Right. I feel like this is... You know, I don't know. Like, I feel like this movie is... Is kind of in the same boat as Wild Things because this is kind of a more art house Hollywood director, to you know, spinning a classic children's story and kind of making it you know more hip than an adaptation like this usually is. So I don't know. It's a hard sell. I think this movie's a really hard sell because, I mean, it's like, who's your target audience on this movie?
I'm assuming this is like a children's movie, right? It's not going to be a...
It does, from the trailer, it doesn't have feel like a children's movie.
It has adult, humor.
Your PG, right?
But I feel like it could go either way, though. I mean, some of those jokes I feel like kids might be into. I feel like the Jason Schwartzman character definitely seems like something that, like, you know, is humor on a kid's level. And I feel like... you know, some of the more adult, like Bill Murray jokes, definitely ramble.
It has a, it's somewhere, for me, it feels like it's somewhere between an Aardman film,
right,
which is the Wallace and Gromit team, and an Adult Swim, almost like an Adult Swim sort of thing.
This is the first film that he's worked with Meryl Streep, right?
Yeah.
I think so. He's got, this, you know, Meryl Streep, Willem Dafoe, George Clooney, Bill Murray, Owen Wilson, Jason Schwartzman, Brian Cox.
Everybody's in it.
Yeah, it has most of the old band. Go ahead, Shane.
I was saying, basically everyone he's worked with in the past, it seems, is doing a voice in it.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's like, and it looks hilarious, so.
How did he direct this movie is what I want to know. Am I to believe Wes Anderson was... literally there in the soundstage while they were photographing these puppets. Like,
well, they had like had the previs. You know, they just had some storyboards that he put together. He's like, I just wanted
to. How did this get made? I just don't understand who financed this movie. Like,
it's cheap, right?
Yeah, it's such a hard sell. I mean, it's like,
how could you? It looks great.
I mean,
who's gonna go see this movie?
I, you know what? I just like that the stop motion isn't perfect. I like that it's...
It looks like a 60s, like...
I love it, yeah.
It looks like the old Rudolph the Rain...
yeah, it looks just like that. It looks very nice.
It's pretty cool.
I mean, I'm excited just because you're never going to see anything like this ever again. A Wes Anderson stop-motion movie, which, you know...
And plus, you know, you remember in Life Aquatic, there was some stop-motion in that. Yeah. So he's had experience in the past.
That's true. Well,
I'm glad he's doing it. I mean, I'm glad he's doing what he wants. This is definitely something that... He was like, I want to do it. Let's do
it. Let's just hope it has a wide release.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think so.
Guys?
Maybe. I mean, what? The Darjeeling Unlimited got one, didn't it, Shane?
No.
No, it didn't. But the Life Aquatic did. But after that failed, he didn't. So, I don't know. It would definitely have... It'll definitely... I think it'll be a national... You know, you'll be able to see it in your major city. But as far as being able to see it at any... Like,
any multiplex.
Yeah, I don't... But... definitely looks cool. Can't wait to see more about that. But I guess moving on to our final. Oh, go ahead, Adam.
That's this year, right?
Yes.
Thanksgiving.
It's in the fall. So,
which might suggest that maybe it's getting a wide release for
November.
So this is going to be around the same time. This will be in the same, in theory, same time as Wild Things.
November 13th. Yeah, November 13th. Right. So this will be right after the Wild Things.
Wow, that's a crazy lineup.
Also, we got our first glimpse, and this will be our last topic, our first glimpse of a serious man. Now, as I think an avid Coen Brothers fan, Shane, what did you think about that?
It's, you know, I think it's going to be great, hopefully. I haven't really seen a movie there that I haven't liked, so it's a very odd trailer, obviously. It doesn't really tell you anything specifically what the plot is, but, you know, I'm sold.
The way that the trailer is kind of structured is this. Each individual element is kind of added on. It builds, like, I don't know what you call that in music lingo.
A beat.
Kind of like a snowballing beat.
Swells.
Yeah. So, but it definitely looks cool, and, you know, seems like
no real stars in it.
It really feels like, even from the trailer, like, the way that this movie is being marketed is, like, it's one of those movies that you'll probably be irritated when you see it. You know, you kind of feel itchy and squirm in your seat while you're watching it. Kind of the way I felt like when I watched Falling Down. It seems like this character is totally miserable. Everybody in the movie kind of has, like, a miserable existence. So, have they done something like this before, where it's kind of like that miserable alternate reality?
Yeah, Barton Fink.
Oh yeah, that was
miserable about the whole picture.
That
surreal hotel with John Goon is, like, the only other.
It kind of reminds me of. Go ahead.
This feels like vintage Coen Brothers to me, just from the trailer.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I noticed, like, they have, and we've talked about this before, like, the ability to create a universe that's kind of void of any, like, real time stamps or logo stamps. You know, it's not really a real world. It's kind of like their own world. Stanley Kubrick, I think, did it pretty well.
They do it so well that it's jarring in a movie like Burn After Reading, where they have modern pop culture.
Right. It's like you're in Washington, D.C., but that's their world. That's their Washington, D.C., and, like, they've created it in such a way that, like, you know, it totally belongs to them. And it's probably more something that's a little more intangible. Like, I can't really say what that thing is, but some directors really just kind of create the world so well that they have you know, the world, that world is their own fiction, I guess. But yeah, so, you know, check all that stuff out. We have that in our last coming soon.
So guys, is this another one that's coming out this year?
Yeah. I don't know the release date on that.
I thought they were doing a cowboy movie next.
I think they just have these in a vault, because it seems like every 6 months they got a new movie.
Yeah, they're
never
the quick.
Heard of.
Well, the release date is tentatively, I think, October 9th. So, October 2nd. It'll be a limited release. Yeah, so this looks like, yeah, it's shaping up to be a good fall for movies.
Better than the summer.
Yeah, I thought I saw Richard Kind in there. I thought I saw him. Do you guys know who Richard Kind is?
No, who is that?
I'm trying to think of something else that he's been in. Everybody who's listening, go Google him right now.
Are you talking about the guy that plays a rabbi?
No, he's kind of like...
Is he the guy slamming the main character's head against the chalkboard?
No, he's kind of got, like, a big jaw, small. Huh? His, like, eyes are real close together. Hold on, Shane.
I just hope this isn't more along the lines of a man who wasn't there. Like, they're just total off the wall, just really weird, you know, movie that...
gets kind of dark.
That nobody really likes.
I thought people loved that movie.
I thought that was the one where people were just like, okay, guys, you lost me.
Okay,
you lost me with UFOs.
I sent you the link. What'd you say? I'm sorry, Adam. What are you talking about in UFOs?
He's saying basically it looks too weird. He doesn't like it.
When I was talking about their movie, The Man Who Wasn't There.
Oh, right, right. Like,
did you ever see that one?
No, I didn't see it.
That was kind of like one of their most offbeat movies that... it had a really small release, and people just kind of forgot about it, I thought.
It's the one with Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah, where he's a barber.
James Gandolfini. It's like a murder kind of mystery, isn't it?
I have to watch that. I just saw James Gandolfini in a trailer for something. What did I just see him in? There was like a trailer where he was playing like a government official, some silly movie.
Taking a Pelham 123, he's the mayor of New York.
No, actually, it was. Let me look it up. It was before Food Inc., which, by the way, I won't talk about too much. I actually got to see that movie, and I thought it was really, really moving. Not really moving, but inspirational documentary. I don't know.
Very convincing.
It's not like I don't know. I don't know whether to say it's good or not. I just know that like when I left the theater, I was like, wow, this is. It's probably one of the more jarring documentaries I've ever watched. So
did you run out and buy some Beats?
No, but I want to. Well, James Gandolfini, of course, is in. He's in the Where the Wild Things Are.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I think it's called Kitty Ride.
I've never heard of that.
No, that's not it. But it's some English movie about how. Oh wait, In the Loop. In the Loop is definitely it. In the Loop. It's about the U.S. president and the U.K. prime minister wanting to go to war, and kind of everybody around them debating it, and kind of like dumb American generals versus like kind of witty British officials. But
they're trying to go to war with each other.
Yeah, it has a really cool kind of Burn After Reading poster too. So. Check that out if you can. But I think we should probably go ahead and wrap up. This has been a really jam-packed episode. We're really burning the candle at both ends, as it were. But or is burning the midnight oil a more appropriate analogy?
I don't know.
But anyways, let's go ahead and close up. As always, thanks to Adam Johnson and Shane Johnson for all the hard work on the site. Of course, you can catch Adam's newest edition, the Gambino Gambino Review. Is that what it's called? That's right, the Gambino Review.
Mm-hmm.
His regular column where he reviews a video game for us, which hopefully we'll be able to talk to you pretty soon. We'll talk about it pretty soon on the next Gambino, but. Yeah.
This week is I'm going to be reviewing the Turtles in Time reshell.
Yep, and I'm looking forward to playing that. That comes out. It's like
Wednesday.
Yeah, so
we'll have plenty to talk about with that because that's a pretty big release for brats like us who used to spend our lunch money on that.
Yeah, and it's actually going to be
years ago.
It's going to be $8, or it's $10 now.
Yeah.
It's not 15. All right, so Shane, is there anything you kind of want to throw out there before we go?
I'm probably going to write a little quick review of that Funny People, which I saw today, and maybe even possibly I plan on seeing the new Harry Potter in IMAX this week, so.
Cool.
Might
awesome.
Be something on that.
Well, good. Can't wait to hear about that. And Adam, anything you want to pimp out?
Mostly just games, the game stuff. If you follow games, you probably know that the Summer of Arcade is going on on the Xbox, which is kind of like a promotional thing they've been running every summer where they put out these huge, hype downloadable titles. So I'm trying to keep up with those. So
cool.
Just keep your eye open for reviews.
Yeah, you got to get Marvel. You got to get Marvel next. Well, I know. Oh, you bought that?
Oh, I bought it 10 years ago on Dreamcast.
Ooh, Shane, I don't know. I got to see that Food Inc., but I don't know how to talk about that movie because it's not like I can really kind of talk about the plot or the filmmaking. It's just I think that it's something that everybody should see. But yeah, I'm trying to keep on track of like some of the newer things that come out. Like just recently, there was a. Some pre-production artwork for the Thundercats movie, which I thought kind of looked lame. But yeah, I'm trying to keep on top of some of the more newsier issues and some of the more breaking trailers. So, but as far as I'm just really having a good time playing video games and watching movies on for free on Hulu and whatnot. So yeah. As well as kind of just maintaining a lot of the stuff for the site. So if I guess that's my job description. But yeah, this has been a great podcast, guys. So again, thanks to Adam Johnson and Shane Johnson for chiming in. And, be sure to look for both of their weekly. Right, Shane? Weekly?
What?
Weekly columns?
Weekly, yeah. At least once a week or
a week and a half. Yeah, and yeah, just check the site. This is the Media Fix podcast, the official podcast of addictedtomedia.blogspot.com. Don't forget to look for the Game Being Old podcast, our video game podcast, coming out sometime this week. So thanks a lot, guys. It's been a good evening.
Thank you.
See you around.
All right. Bye.